Does a famous book club's endorsement on a novel's cover change its identity? Does a new face change a person's essence? Book critic Maureen Carrigan ponders these weighty questions.
Novelist Jonathan Franzen and Oprah Winfrey are just the latest in a long line of artists and their patrons who've bickered on the subject of gratitude. In fact, the outline of their argument is as old as cave painting. Oprah chooses Franzen's recent, much-acclaimed novel, The Corrections, to be featured on her program's book club, which means big bucks for Franzen. Franzen responds by sticking his hand out for the money while sneering at Oprah's middle-brow taste in literature. He moans about how pasting an Oprah book club sticker on his novel's cover will threaten his artistic integrity, turning him into just another dray horse in Oprah's stable of writers. Oprah responds by rescinding her invitation to Franzen to be on her show, causing Franzen to do a clumsy full grovel. Both players in this melodrama are taking themselves oh so seriously, and thus they both come off looking like fools. Back in the 18th century, when one of the most notorious artist-patron quarrels erupted, at least there was some elegance to the insults. The specific situation is different, but I'm thinking of the famous letter that Samuel Johnson wrote to his erstwhile patron, Lord Chesterfield, when he, Johnson, was about to publish his monumental Dictionary of the English Language in 1755. Chesterfield contributed £10 to the project, and then, when the dictionary appeared, he wrote an endorsement published in two newspapers that implied he'd underwritten Johnson's years of labor. The irate Dr. Johnson responded, in part, by writing these memorable sentences. 7 years, my lord, have now passed since I waited in your outward rooms, or was repulsed from your door, during which time I have been pushing on my work through difficulties of which it is useless to complain. Without one act of assistance, one word of encouragement, or one smile of favor. Is a patron, my lord, one who looks with unconcern on a man struggling for life in the water, and when he has reached ground, encumbers him with help? Now here's how classy Lord Chesterfield was. He kept a copy of Johnson's letter on his library table and would show it to visitors, remarking sincerely, "The man has great powers." No such class or wit is evident in the current tussle. Unlike Franzen, Johnson had the good sense to know that writers need all the support they can get. And unlike Oprah, Lord Chesterfield had the grace to understand that money should defer to talent, however cranky. I confess, for years I've nurtured a fantasy that Oprah's people would call me up and invite me to be her private book critic, helping her to break out of the very suffering and redemption literary rut that Jonathan Franzen has accused her of being stuck in. I guess I've just blown that chance. But if I were reigning this month as Oprah's court critic, I would have recommended to her, on archly bended knee, Jennifer Egan's eerie new novel, Look at Me. Look at Me is shrewdly self-conscious about its qualified salvation story and would surely join The Corrections in what Franzen pompously called the high art literary tradition, if anyone still bothered to keep score. I should really say qualified salvation stories, because Look at Me consists of two intertwined and stylistically experimental narratives, both featuring women named Charlotte. Charlotte Swenson is an almost over-the-hill New York model who crashes her car on a trip back home to Rockford, Illinois, and survives the accident with every bone in her face broken. After two operations and months of swelling, she surfaces a different person. Here's how Charlotte describes her first post-accident visit back to a cafe frequented by her high-fashion friends. People I knew passed my table. Each one looked at me in the particular way people do inside the fashion world. A quick, ravenous glance that demands beauty or power as its immediate reward. And then they looked away, as if what they had seen were not just unfamiliar, but without possibility. The second Charlotte is the 13-year-old daughter of Charlotte Swenson's best childhood friend. She's a mousy thing, overlooked by her parents, whose anxious gaze is fixed on her beautiful younger brother, who's battling leukemia. This neglected teenage Charlotte turns to two men for attention. She becomes the intellectual protege of her mentally disturbed uncle, who's a college professor obsessed with the discovery of clear glass in the 13th century. She also becomes the sexual protege of a stranger named Michael West, who's a fugitive from his own many past lives. Look at Me is so engrossing, energetic, sharp, and funny, it reminded me of Ralph Ellison's masterpiece, Invisible Man, another novel that charts the modernist riddle of human identity. Egan's book only falters towards its very end when a hackneyed terrorist plot twist, of all things, emerges. Egan will probably never get a chance to diss Oprah the way Franzen did. Too bad, because this is a darkly playful novel that both interrogates our culture of spectacle and revels in it.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Look at Me by Jennifer Egan.